are experiencing menopause or you know someone who is experiencing menopause, you need to listen to this. Menopause Holistic Health Solutions. Amita Sharma will tell us all about it. She is the co-founder of Nourish Doc, a global holistic wellness platform for women to manage their hormone transition from PMS to post-menopause. And she will also explain a little bit about perimenopause. What is it and how it can impact you or the women in your life today? So, Amita, please tell us, what is menopause? What is perimenopause? And what is postmenopause? And how is that impacting women around the world today?
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrasku shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Lily. I love the work that you're doing. So, you know, believe it or not, there are over 1 billion women in menopause today all over the world. Now, menopause is the time when our periods, the menstrual periods, basically stop. It's a very simple language, simple English language that I want to explain so that everybody understands. The periods stop off your periods, turn on your periods when you're a teenager, stop off in menopause. And now that has to be consecutive 12 months if you haven't had your period. And that's when you technically enter menopause, and rest of your life, you are in post-menopause. Age is around 51, 52, normal, but it's different as per different cultures of women. I can get into that details, as we move forward. Now the perimenopause is the years transitioning into menopause. Menopause is not just a switch. One day, you know, it's off, right? Our body starts preparing ourselves towards menopause. And when that body is transitioning into that, those years could be 4 to 10 years. It's a long time. And that whole phase is called perimenopause, when our periods become irregular and we start seeing symptoms like hot flashes. There are over 48 symptoms associated with this whole journey of perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause.
Thank you. So I'm 43 right now. So technically, I could be potentially included in the perimenopause stage, right? What kind of symptoms could I potentially be experiencing that could impact my ability to work or to just function as I normally would have done?
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, just a little stats. More than 50%, almost women, starts experiencing perimenopause in their 40s, early 40s, as soon as they hit 40s. Now, the new data is approximately 15 to 20% of the women are now experiencing perimenopause in their late 30s. It's shifting, just so that you know. So you are 43, right at the cusp of perimenopause, which I would say. And the first symptom that you need to take care of is your period health, right? Your menstrual cycle. Is it regular or not? If it's not regular, if it's irregular, meaning you are going to have your periods shorter apart, in the sense like frequency could be after 15 days or 18 days, not necessarily your regular menstrual cycle. That is the first sign of you might be entering perimenopause, your health of your menstrual cycle. Very simple. Due to that, because your hormones are fluctuating, now you're going to see other symptoms that I briefly mentioned. I'm not saying you're going to see all 48 symptoms at one time. They're coming to you and grabbing you. It's different for every woman. That's kind of how it starts, the perimenopause journey. But typically, hot flashes, night sweats, not able to sleep properly, waking up in the morning groggy, your brain cannot focus, you cannot focus in your work, your productivity at work will kind of suffer, you might lose a train of thought, you know, all these things can start happening initial perimenopause journey.
Thank you. So what can someone do to overcome these symptoms before they go so bad that you're unable to do your work?
Yeah, so it's very important for women to understand they have to change their entire diet and exercise regimen. And the reason I'm saying it is that as we women start entering into perimenopause, transitioning into menopause, our gut microbiome changes, and due to the gut microbiome, the mental health also gets impacted. We get more anxiety. 50% of women have anxiety, so it's very important to have clean diet, meaning clean meaning eating properly, not going on a yo-yo diet, and eating nutrient dense diet. Very, very important. And also adding exercise or movement, so to speak, whether it is breath work, meditation, strength conditioning, all these things have to be added if you want to transition this phase, without any hiccups. And by the way, I'm not a medical doctor. All the information I'm saying is my interviews with over 3,000 plus holistic experts from all over the world and deep research that we have done as a company over the last 2 years.
Wow, that is so interesting. So, what kind of supplements or what kind of food should women make sure to take to make sure that they are not suffering too much?
Yeah, so it depends on it's not a one size fit all, right? I want women to understand menopause is so different as per your culture, as per how you have been treating yourself and your body up until that point, up until 40 years, right? So now, having said that, on a very high level, what supplements, there's so many different supplements. I recommend that everyone should consult an expert before they start doing supplements. But on a very high level, ashwagandha has a lot of research that has shown for anxiety. As I talked about, 50% of women are going to go through anxiety. So ashwagandha has a lot of research right now. Anti-inflammatory foods, because a lot of inflammation gets built into what we were talking about, the irregular periods and the hormone fluctuations, and sometimes the hormone estrogen gets higher and the inflammation gets into our bodies and we start feeling bloated and we start putting on weight. All those things happen when we are getting into this whole phase. So having anti-inflammatory foods, having anti-inflammatory spices, adding it to on a daily basis, like turmeric has ton of research. Ginger has so much research. Cumin, your coriander, your healing spices, your kitchen spices, doing that in the morning, like in the tea. So cumin, coriander, fennel, these are great spices. Eating some healing foods, anti-inflammatory, like things like having phytoestrogens, going to cruciferous vegetables, and adding more protein. Protein is very important for women, and healthy fats, and simple, not simple carbohydrates, but complex carbohydrates, so that you don't get blood sugar spikes or cravings throughout the day. So these are just general guidelines. Like I said, I'm not a dietitian or medical experts, but these are general guidelines. But most of us, what we start doing, and including me, we go on a diet because we think we are putting on weight, when we start eating in our 40s, and that's not good. It's very important to nourish our bodies because guess what is happening? Our hormones slowly are going down. And if you deplete your body with the nutrients, the right nutrients, you're going to have all kind of problems post-menopause. So very, very important for women to focus on the nutrition that they need to feed into the body, the right type of nutrition. This is what I'm saying, right?
Thank you. Tell us about the loss or the increase of libido. For example, in my case, I have noticed from maybe perhaps about 2 months ago that I would say my libido has reduced 90%.
It is one of the symptoms, by the way. So like I was saying earlier, there are approximately 48 or maybe more symptoms that have been recorded for as a part of perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause journey. And loss of libido is one of them. And it doesn't happen to every woman, but it happens to quite a few women. And that's because of the hormone fluctuations. That means you have already entered sort of like early perimenopause or perimenopause because your hormones are fluctuating, and that's why one of the reasons you are facing loss of libido. So the thing to do that is again doing some pelvic health exercises because like, you know, the blood flow is not going into that part of the body. So you want to make sure the blood flow goes. So doing some strengthening exercising, it's going to help you a lot. Generally, pelvic health specialists, these kind of things would help a lot. And even simple meditation and yoga, because these are grounding exercises, right? They will help put the blood flow going into that part of the region, right? That the body, so to speak. And breathing exercises, right? I talked about meditation, yoga, but also doing some breathing from, not from your hair, but from your belly. Deep down, diaphragm breathing helps a lot, because it's just kind of cleansing the system and then bringing the blood flow kind of overall, everywhere in the body. And then the other thing that helps a lot is acupuncture sessions, because that's letting your energy flow throughout the body, right? So these are some of the tricks, some of the things that women can do. The other thing I am a firm believer is also on Ayurveda, doing some relaxing massage with medicated oils, because it's really lymphatic, you know, kind of blood flow system. You really need the blood flow to kind of go all over the body, right? So these are some of the things women can do to help themselves.
Thank you. Tell us about hormone replacement therapy, or your opinion on that, whether that's actually necessary or not. Now, I know, for example, my mom, she's about 65, I would say, and she didn't take anything for any of the menopause symptoms. And she said she didn't have any symptoms, you know, and when I asked her what symptoms, I did notice she's a lot angrier than before, you know, because I know up to, I would say, 40-ish, she was very, she was very gentle. She was very kind. She was very understanding. Okay. But then, for example, now she would never admit that she changed. Okay. But she did. Sense of, she doesn't have hot flashes or anything like that, but she's just like this angry bitch all the time, you know.
Oh my god.
and but of course she's very thoughtful, she's very kind, but I mean, like, just like this controlling, you know, general kind of thing. That's what I mean. And I think that must be a symptom of menopause. And I think maybe some women don't even realize it, that they've just become really angry. And anything that women who have become very angry as a result of menopause, what can they do? Because, for example, I've experienced some situations in business where, you know, women were not very nice to me. And I looked at them and I thought, okay, they're over 40. Yeah. They must be on menopause. Yeah. And they are just, they need their time. You know, like, I need to be patient. I need to be kind. I need to be understanding. And I need to understand that maybe that's the thing that's affecting them. And it will take them 5 or 10 years to realize I only have good intentions. But at least, you know, I'm doing my part of being, you know,
and
their, you know, their way for a while. So my question was, okay, what can women do who are angry all the time as a result of menopause?
So it's I'll tell you, it's very complicated, right? From the research I have done, it's not only the menopause. It's also, if you think about a woman's journey, right? Like your mom, let's just take your mom, right? She has been caring for you and the kids. I don't know how many siblings you have, but generally she's been caring for the family. Okay, she's been caring for you and the family for such a long time, and maybe she feels invisible in the family because she's the one who's been caregiver to kids or to the family, and nobody's really paid attention to her needs up until, I don't know, I mean, I'm generally making a general statement, right? It a lot of women feel invisible because they feel that they are giving and giving and giving to the kids, giving to the society, giving to the family, giving to whoever, and they are not getting anything back. There's no empathy when they are going through this journey. And maybe that's the case when your mom also felt, when she has gone through whatever her journey, that nobody was sensitive to her needs, and she has been the caregiver all this time, and now she, all these pent up feelings, right, the emotional feelings have been pent up and now they're coming out. And you feel, oh my God, what the heck happened to her? She's angry, because it's not the anger. It's just the pent up feelings that she's had over the years towards, and she needs to release it. And that's what sometimes women start doing, is releasing it. And they sometimes don't even care, because they come at that point, like, I don't care, I need to live my life, right? It's that kind of sort of like a mindset sometimes, you know, women feel, because they feel that they have been dismissed. Okay, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So I think it's menopause is just happens to be there, but it's also the other factors of the community and the family value of family and the caregiving and all these things come into play, and they kind of all bubble, you know, kind of bundle it up and bubble up, and then there, you know, she's spewing whatever, and you're thinking, oh my God, what the heck happened to her, right? Because she has all these pent up, she has not digested her emotions, and she's kind of releasing them after decades of pent up.
Thank you. I'm also wondering whether, would you say that it's a result of, for example, let's say as a cause of menopause, your libido goes down. Because of that, you don't have sex. And because of that, you're angry. And because of that, there's nothing to quench that anger. And it's like this you're just like this bottle of anger that kind of spews everywhere. Is that like an accurate representation of how it goes? And if yes, what can women do? Is it like meditation, like you said, breathing and yoga and grounding exercises, that kind of thing? Or is there anything else, like medication-wise or supplements-wise, they can take to balance their body better so that they don't encounter the actual symptoms?
Yeah, you know, we know that sexual health is important, right? There's a lot of research. I'm talking from research point of view, not from the pleasure point of view, that, you know, it helps calm you down. You know, it's a pain reliever. Orgasm is a pain reliever. There's a lot of research that has been done to talk about this. So there is, I was interviewing an MD actually, and she actually advocates orgasmic meditation. You know, and that's something that also has a lot of research for women who have a sort of like loss of libido or libido has gone down. And yes, absolutely, you're right. You know, the pent up feelings would come somewhere, and you release it in a anger or an emotional outburst. You suddenly start crying, or your behavior changes, because there's no release of emotions that were happening before. You know, with the sexual health, if it's a normal, right? So there's an orgasmic meditation. Like I said, one of the MDs recommended, she recommends to a lot of women out there. And also, believe it or not, a lot of sexologists that I interviewed, they recommend use of those gizmos, you know, those different wands, and to really make that area kind of more sensitive, or touch and feel part of it, believe it or not, that they do, medical point of view, right? So those are some things are actually not very openly discussed, right? We don't discuss these things in our society or community, doesn't matter where we are, but they do recommend stroking that part of the body and area to make it a little bit more gentle, and even having using those wands, yeah, exactly, to not necessarily having natural way of doing it, but also using these equipment to make that area become a bit more sensitive, and having masturbation and all those things, you know, the medical doctors talk about that. A lot of sexologists talk about that. I was quite surprised, but they do. And they recommend that if someone is going through these kind of phases, they use those, and also some orgasmic meditation, like I said, that helps a lot. And even pelvic health exercises, those help a lot. And there's a lot of vaginal gels, and, you know, you should consult with someone, but those are very good. And then there's supplements, as I was talking about earlier, ashwagandha is also considered helping with the libido. There's a research on it. There are other supplements that help, called shatavari. Again, to consult with the expert before you start consuming these things. But I'm just talking from a research point of view, like shatavari is another supplement that's considered from an Ayurvedic point of view, it helps with the libido. So there are supplements that can help with the libido, but every person is different what they're going through. So it's always helpful to see your situation, what you are going through, and maybe getting some blood tests done. Maybe you are deficient in some nutrients, you know, vitamin D. A lot of women are deficient in vitamin D or some of the other nutrients as you start aging. That's also important, right? So you don't know what the deficiency of the nutrient deficiency is coming out where in the body. Our body is one, right? We're not compartmentalized as some of us think, oh, this part is gone now, or this part is not acting. It's all one, right? Mind and body. So it's important.
Thank you. I know my mom, for example, because she's a nutritionist.
She knows.
Yeah, so she was taking, for example, dill seeds, and she said it was important to take dill seeds from a really much younger age, like 40 plus, so that you are preventing any issues with hot flashes and so on. And she said that's why she didn't get any hot flashes. Mm-hmm. And I know that every single day she was juicing ginger and lemons. And there's a third thing that I'm missing. She was using a lot of turmeric and not cumin, the other one, cinnamon. Okay. And honey. And in particular, you know, the more expensive one, I forget now what it's called. Mm-hmm. The special honey that comes from New Zealand or something. So she said those are, you know, like so important. But are there any particular foods that you recommend for someone to have a more balanced a diet that would then have a great impact on someone's well-being during menopause or perimenopause?
Yeah, I mean, if she's a dietitian, she's an expert on all this. That's what I would say. I mean, she knows better than both of us together. But there's a research that talks about women should load up on healthy fats. Like ghee is very good, avocado, all the healthy fats, and some nuts and seeds. Seeds are very good. Seed cycling helps a lot. I personally take a lot of seeds in the morning, every day. Flax seeds, hemp seeds, sesame, you name it, pumpkin seeds. All these, I create a mixture and I kind of put it in my oatmeal in the morning. So those are healthy fats and also helps with the hormonal balance. Flax seeds has a lot of research with the hormonal balance. You really need to make sure your hormones are balanced, right? Because your hormones are fluctuating so much and you want to bring them in balance. That's really the key. That's the research says. So I don't know in your mom what is the case, but flax seeds are really, really good. Chia seeds are, all of these seeds are very good. Right? For hormonal balance is what I'm talking about. Now, the foods part, again, for hormonal balance, I talked about earlier, like cruciferous vegetables, like your cauliflower, your Brussels sprouts, your kale, these kind of vegetables, spinach, you know, if you feed them, because they have natural estrogen, and also some of the soy products, clean soy products, right? That also, edamame is good, tofu is good, and protein, you're feeding yourself enough protein. We women don't have enough protein. I literally started using an app to see I'm having enough protein on a daily basis, and still I can't do it. It's very hard to have so much protein, what is recommended of your body weight. That's also very, very important. And I'm sure your mom knows all about it. But it's important to have these kind of nutrients in your body on a daily basis.
Thank you. Tell us, what causes hot flashes and how can someone prevent having them before alarming people at events?
Yeah, no, you know what the funny thing is, I was getting, when I was in 40, you know, just turned 40, and I think I got into perimenopause because I started getting hot flashes and sweats, right? So basically I'm sitting in a meeting, conducting a proper meeting with professional meeting, and suddenly my face starts kind of going crazy and dripping with water, sweats, right? So it's the inflammation inside the body. I mean, they also are trying to, it's again hormonal imbalance, what is causing all these symptoms. And typically, what happens is initially in the first phase of perimenopause, we have two female sex hormones, right? Progesterone and estrogen. The progesterone starts going down, estrogen is still high up there, but still, what happens is the imbalance between these two hormones is causing all these hot flashes, because the imbalance in the body starts it recognizes the imbalance. So that is why it is so important to have the balance. Even if this is going down, this is going up, you need to bring it down. That's what the research says. So inflammation inside the body starts happening with the hot flashes, and it needs to come out somehow, and then the sweats, you can bring in the sweats and all that. So that's why you need to pay a lot of attention to the inflammation inside the body, cleansing, detoxification. I see that you're drinking something, juice or something, you know. But detoxification of your body is important. Cleansing your body is important, right? Balancing your hormones is very important. A lot of us don't understand. It's not just these two sex hormones that I'm talking about. There are other hormones like cortisol, right? We know about that. The stress hormone, it's important to bring that in check, because if you're stressed out, guess what's going to happen? All these things are going to go out of whack. Insulin is another very, very important for blood sugar. We need to get that into the check. Thyroid is very important. So it's a very complex, very, very complex. But on a very simple layman's terms, the hormones, all our hormones have to be balanced for our machinery, right? Our body machinery to work in harmony. Otherwise, it doesn't. And that's what starts happening to most of the women, is things are going out of whack because, A, we don't understand. B, when we go to the doctor and it's like, oh, our hormones are all over the place. And C, a lot of doctors are not taught about perimenopause in medical schools. That's the other problem.
Thank you. So let's say, for example, in my case, I have an intrauterine device called Mirena, mm-hmm. which I think is it operates with progesterone, I think. Okay. So I have noticed that already after starting to use it, which was about 2 years ago, I immediately started to have like a drop in libido. I think I would say 90% of drop in libido. And then after a few months, it kind of went up a little bit, and then it dropped 90% from there, like a couple of months ago. So I'm wondering, for people like me, like, how would you even know that you actually hit perimenopause or menopause? What are the, you can say, the telltale signs that you do have it?
No, I think, as I said earlier, the first sign is your menstrual cycle. Is it regular or not?
Yeah.
Right? If it is, yeah. it's right on the clock. And then if it's the, you know, your flow is regular or not, meaning it's not heavy or it's not scanty, you know, all that thing, right? That's the first sign. But now if you're using some outside devices, absolutely, you know, once you start meddling with your body with these kind of devices, it's going to have some consequences, even if you have not entered perimenopause. Right? Because you already are introducing something in your body which is foreign. So now it's in a different territory. That's the thing. So even if you haven't entered perimenopause, but you have started meddling with all these gizmos inside your body, it's going to have some kind of an impact. And in your case, the impact is loss of libido, right? Because you are already doing that.
Yeah.
So maybe you're not in perimenopause. Like I said, I'm not a medical doctor, but on the other hand, you are putting some foreign objects in your body that is meddling with your libido, and that might not be a start of your perimenopause, but it could be what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. Tell us more about your platform, Nourish Doc. How does that platform help women to manage their hormone transition from PMS to postmenopause?
Yeah, so our platform is intended to help women, starting with the self-care first. We wanted to make this platform affordable, and we went around the world to get the knowledge. So the first step is to understanding of all these symptoms, and also what to do that you can do it yourself, the things we were talking about, right? The diet and all the holistic things. So the platform caters to that in the first step. Pricing at like $5 per month, so that it's accessible to every woman who is going through the perimenopause PMS journey, that she can download the app or she can go on the web to go through this entire platform and learn all the questions that you are asking from the experts and start taking some measures, self-care techniques that she can start doing on her own. Now, if the self-care techniques don't work, like in your case, you know, you have some complications that are going on, even though maybe you have not entered the perimenopause, then we have experts that you can consult with or seek out with, whatever, the consultation or whatever. And then the third thing what we're doing is to make it affordable, we are introducing group coaching, where we will invite the experts from a sexologist to a naturopathic doctor, you name it, on a weekly basis, so that women can learn based on whatever their journey is, you know, and take the right measures. So that's kind of what the platform is really going to offer, starting from something like $5 per month, going all the way high up, but catering to each and every woman's need as per their culture. We didn't talk about the culture today, but every woman, depending on the culture, experiences menopause in a different way. And also the symptoms are different. So it's not like one pill that I can take or you can take and it's going to fix me. It's based on, like I was saying earlier, how you treated your body. So we take care of the cultural aspect in our platform as well.
Wow. So how does the culture impact the symptoms experience?
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. And I think that's very important for women to understand. So the age of the menopause, as I was saying earlier, 51, 52, that data is for Caucasian women. But if you look at the Latino American women and Black American women, that data is about 47, 48. They experience the menopause typically on average 2 to 3 years earlier than they're supposed to do. Indian women in India experiencing 45 and 46 years. That's much, much younger than they're supposed to do. A lot of Muslim women also experience younger, 45 to 46. Now, as for the symptoms, hot flashes and night sweats are very aggravated in Latino American and Black American. But Japanese women don't even experience hot flashes because of the diet they have been following, soy diet, soup diet. We know that, fish, right? The kind of diet they have. So these are the different nuances and the intricacies that are built into, as per the culture of the different women, the different type of symptoms that they are also facing. And it's very important for experts to understand the cultural aspects of it when they are suggesting anything, and even for women to understand coming from their cultural ethnicity that this could be the reason, because if they're experiencing menopause earlier, as an example, you're more prone to having chronic conditions when you are 55 and older or 60 and older, because you depleted your hormones earlier than you were supposed to do. So like I said, it's very complicated. It's not very simple, like menopause, okay, one menopause, one pill for the hot flashes and you're fixed. It's not like that. So our platform obviously is attempting to start this whole journey of helping women, starting with the self-care and then putting them in touch with the right expert according to their needs, so that it can, you know, they can start feeling empowered and they feel that now they can live their rest of their lives with the quality of life is improved.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can find more information about Nourish Doc and you.
Yeah, so please go to our website, www.nourishdoc.com.
Thank you.
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health changemakers to live your healthiest life ever.